regulars of Tangents know that it's Gaza Corner time at 11 o'clock. And one of the reasons I do Gaza Corner is not to allow out of sight, out of mind to become the mindset when it comes to a Palestinian suffering, especially in Gaza. I call tonight's Gaza Corner Waiting to Die. I feared when Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel, appointed Avigdor Lieberman as defense minister, that the next round of war on Gaza could be imminent. What I didn't anticipate and didn't even know is that Lieberman now controls a policy that increasingly denies medical travel permits for Gazans who are in urgent need of treatment at medical facilities outside Gaza, but are denied access to hospitals in the West Bank, East Jerusalem, and Israel. The result is many Gazans, especially cancer patients, are needlessly dying as they wait for medical care that Israelis and you and I take for granted. Although breast cancer, for example, is one of the most treatable forms of cancer, a Harvard Medical School study has shown that 5-year survival rates for breast cancer patients are as low as 30 to 40% in Gaza compared to, for example, 85% in England. For women with breast cancer in Gaza, Israel's and Egypt's near total closure of the Gaza Strip affects nearly every stage of a woman's diagnosis and treatment. Chemotherapy is frequently unavailable in Gaza, and radiotherapy is completely unavailable in Gaza. Israel's blockade of Gaza includes radioisotopes used in bone scans or for guided biopsy of auxiliary lymph nodes, despite having no potential dangerous application. They're still on the blockade list. Radiotherapy is crucial in allowing breast conservation. This leads to the vast majority of women living in Gaza to having full mastectomies and clearance of their auxiliary nodes, which would be deemed unnecessary with normal treatment. But nothing is normal in Gaza. Can you imagine being diagnosed with cancer and you are not allowed to receive radiation or chemo if that was your choice? In Gaza, you are just waiting to die. The Israeli chapter of Physicians for Human Rights in Israel, which I will use an acronym, PHRI, Physicians for Human Rights in the Israeli chapter, PHRI, and the UK-based Medical Aid for Palestinians, known as the acronym MAP, they've documented obstacles placed by the occupation that prevent Palestinian women from accessing proper treatment for breast cancer, which is in violation of international law. And infant mortality is also significantly on the rise in Gaza, as documented in a 2015 UN report called Increasing Neonatal Mortality Among Palestinian Refugees in the Gaza Strip. That is linked, by the way, that report, a PDF file, at the Tangents homepage and on the KALW playlist. Israel's stifling blockade of Gaza is now almost 10 years old. It's the most enduring blockade in human history. The international community's turning away from Gaza is a dark, pathetic stain on world's collective conscience. And the U.S. role, I don't need to remind you, it's one of complicity. American-made bombs have rained down on Gaza's 2 million inhabitants in 3 recent wars on Gaza, killing thousands of civilians, mostly women, children, and the elderly. There's only one Israeli medical NGO that has the approval of the Israeli army, the IDF, to visit Gaza, and it is the Israeli chapter of Physicians for Human Rights. The website, by the way, is phr.org, phr.org.il. After reading an interview with one of its doctors, I was moved to support their work. On the homepage, the Tangents homepage, in the far right-hand column, there's a donation link for Physicians for Human Rights Israel. Dr. Saleh Haj Nahia is the director of PHRI and the director of the Israel Mobile Clinic, which has worked, well, he's worked for Physicians for Human Rights in Israel since it was first set up in 1988, which was at the time of the first Palestinian Intifada. Every few weeks, Dr. Saleh Haj Yahia heads a medical team going into Gaza. The group consists of a few physicians, all Israeli Arabs, because Israel prevents Jewish doctors from traveling to Gaza, despite significant numbers of them wanting to go, wanting to help. Dr. Yahia leads this medical delegation to Gaza. He was recently interviewed in an eye-opening interview in Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper. Even if you think you know what's going on in Gaza, you should read this interview. It's linked, at the Tangents homepage and on the Tangents playlist. I want to share with you some of Dr. Yahia's observations, and I quote, "Gaza is cloaked in desperation. You feel it the minute you cross the border. It's like traveling to another world. Already at the crossing, you see seriously ill people, mainly cancer patients, waiting in line in a hall. They are hoping for some compassion and permission to cross the border and receive some treatment. You go by car and see ruins, thousands of destroyed houses, factories in ruins, sewage flowing through the streets. More than 60% of the inhabitants are unemployed. There's terrible poverty. Someone who has a job makes up to 30 shekels, which would be about $7.80, a day. Most people don't have work. The education system isn't working. The health system is finished. Agriculture is dying. There are no materials, no way of working, and even if there is some produce, there's no one to sell it to. Water sources are contaminated. The water is unfit to drink, unfit for any use. There's hardly any electricity, 4 hours a day. There's hardly any international aid. Hospitals face dire shortages of medications and equipment. There are no syringes, no bandages, and no tubes. Chronic patients are always on the brink. There is no regular supply of electricity in Gaza. We see the terrible results, especially in neonatal units. People pay with their lives on an almost daily basis," unquote. The UN report I mentioned at the very outset of Gaza Corner concludes, quote, "For the first time in 5 decades, the mortality rate has increased among Palestine refugee newborns in Gaza," unquote. I link to that PDF file at the Tangents homepage and on the playlist. This study was conducted before 2014's war on Gaza that killed 551 children during a 51-day period that summer. 1,000 patients a month cannot get help in Gaza hospitals. Dr. Hamia explains, quote, "First, they turn for help locally. When the hospital realizes it can't help them, they are directed to a hospital in Israel. In most cases, such a patient will be summoned for questioning by the Shin Bet Security Service. It's equivalent to the FBI. It, meaning the process, can take months. Sometimes there is no reply at all. Many people die while waiting. There's also the issue of blackmail. Their travel permit is granted only on condition that they collaborate information in exchange for an entry permit, unquote. These are the words of the director of the medical mobile unit that is allowed into Gaza. This is Dr. Saleh Haj Yahya of Physicians for Human Rights Israel. The Haaretz interviewer, Ayelet Shani, asks the doctor if he can prove the assertion of blackmail. His reply, quote, "We have filmed documentation of patients being threatened or blackmailed in exchange for a medical travel permit. We've written a report on this." Again, Physicians for Human Rights. "The questioning often deteriorates into unpleasant and humiliating situations. Violence is sometimes resorted to. There are also all sorts of regulations, such as prohibiting the entry of men aged 18 to 20 to a 45, 18 to 45. So if there is a sick child, they won't allow the parents to accompany the child. Even when it's a baby, they separate it from its parents. Many times when we pressure the Shin Bet or the Israeli side, all of a sudden the patient gets a permit. In other words, there wasn't really a reason for denying a permit in the first place," unquote. At both the Tangents homepage and on the playlist, you can find a link to a January 6th article, the headline from Haaretz, "Gazan Women Protest Israel for Cancer Treatment." Cancer patients in Gaza recently launched a protest against Israel's refusal to allow them to seek medical treatments in hospitals in Israel, East Jerusalem, or the West Bank. The women say Israel is sentencing them to a, quote, "premeditated death sentence," unquote. The protest is spearheaded by Iman Shanan, who was diagnosed with breast cancer 18 years ago, and her condition improved due to treatment. Recently, she was referred to a Tel Aviv hospital for an examination to locate cancerous tumors for fear that the disease had recurred. She asked to go to the hospital for the examination 3 times, but every time her request was denied. Shanan heads the NGO in Gaza, Aid and Hope Program for Cancer Patient Care in Gaza. She told Haaretz that the organized protest started after medical travel permit requests came in from numerous women for whom being prevented from receiving treatment outside Gaza was literally a death sentence. Shanan says the number of denials of requests to leave Gaza for treatment has risen dramatically. Sihan al-Tatri suffers from lymphatic leukemia. She must undergo chemo once every 3 weeks in an East Jerusalem hospital. Tatri entered Israel twice and received the treatments. But when she wanted to have the third round of treatments, she was denied entry. Quote, "Because of my treatment's delay, I feel weak, and I have to begin the treatment all over again. If they don't give me a permit, they are sentencing me to death. What country can agree to us dying because we didn't get the right to medical treatment?" Unquote. PHRI, Physicians for Human Rights in Israel, has as one of its core missions to help patients from Gaza obtain permits to leave the Gaza Strip for treatment. Over the past year, according to them, the number of denials to allow patients to leave for treatments has risen by an astounding 44%, much of it coinciding with the appointment of Avigdor Lieberman as defense minister. As always, the stories used for Gaza Corner research are linked at the Tangents homepage, and I encourage you also to go to the Gaza Corner archive, because all of the stories, if you just want to go back and see previous Gaza Corners, you can listen to the audio and you can see the links to the stories. Tonight the music is something special. I went to Israel in October of 2015. I visited the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music and was given several albums, including one called Jadayel, Duo Sabil, and Bela Quartet. This is an album that features Ahmad al-Khatib, Palestinian oudist, and Youssef Khabesh on percussion, who also is in the Trio Joubran. And features also a quartet from France, the Bela Quartet. This is a trilogy. It's actually called Trilogy in the Makam. And I'm going to play all three songs, about 20 minutes worth, on Gaza Corner on 91.7. Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely fabulous. The music for Gaza Corner tonight. The album is called Jadayel by Duo Sabil and the Bela Quartet. Duo Sabil, percussionist Youssef Khabesh and oudist Ahmad Al-Khadib. They met as members of the faculty at the Edward Said National Conservatory of Music, and they always wanted to do something musical together, and it finally bore fruit in 2012 with this album, and they collaborated with the Bela Quartet from France. We heard the trilogy called Trilogy in the Maqam.